Message number 12 on the First Epistle of John. Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the ever-precious and the worthy name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We welcome you again to our Bible study and our particular meditation upon that wonderful letter, the First Epistle of John. What a joy to realize the character of this epistle, relating to the Father in heaven above, and his beloved Son, together with his family, the children of God who may be upon the earth, even at this present time. We have noted the Father and his family is presented in chapters 1 and 2. And we shall also later on see, beginning in chapter 3 to the end, the Father's family in relation to its testimony in the world. We continue what we had had in our preceding message in relation to the classification of the Father's family. May we repeat that in chapter 2 of this epistle, beginning, if we may, at verse 13, going down through verse 28, we have the threefold division of the family of God revealed. They are spoken of as being characteristic of their development, spiritual development, and their growth. They are spoken of as fathers and of young men and also little children. We have already noted in the recent message the classification of the young men. We have particularly noted in verse 14 three special characteristics. First, the possession of spiritual strength. Second, the source of that spiritual strength, the Word of God, hid within their hearts. And third, the result of that spiritual strength, they overcome Satan, the wicked one. We also noted in our closing moments of the preceding message, they also face a twofold danger. In verses 15 through 17, that twofold danger is revealed. First, let me read the words as they are found in verse 15, 16, and 17. To these young men in the family of God, the apostle writes, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Now in relation to the danger, though these young men may be spiritually strong, they have not reached the complete maturity of the fathers. And the apostle, by the Holy Spirit, draws attention to the danger of the world, and the affection of the believer's heart being set upon that world, which means, as we've already stated, the world system that is under Satan. For Satan controls the world by his power. The second danger that we noted is the fact they could not only have a love for the world, but for the things which are in the world. For there are many channels, and particularly three main channels that Satan uses in the world, that are avenues to the believer's soul. Those three channels, as we have noted, they are the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and they are the pride of life. These are avenues to the soul of a believer. My fellow believer, may I say to your heart, as well as to mine own, just as strong as to any, we must beware of these dangers within the world, for Satan has fortified the whole world with that which can gratify the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. 'Tis been well stated by another, there are two main ingredients in this world system under Satan. One is lust, and that means lusting or desiring for the things which we have not, but which we want. And second, pride, when we have attained to that which we have been grasping? Shall we not indeed recognize, as you look at the character of the world under the power of Satan today, is it not characterized by these two very things, men and women lusting for what they do not yet possess? Then when they possess it, pride of that possession. Oh, how we must indeed be warned as believers to keep out the enemy. For as we stated precedingly in our message, it is easier to get the enemy or permit him to get in than to get him out when after he has entered. Now as we look at verse 17 today, we would particularly emphasize what the Spirit of God declares regarding this world. He says, the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. One should recognize that what the world contains is but a temporary thing. 'Twill not last forever. 'Twas the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, I believe, at the end of the chapter, who stated that we should keep our eyes fixed upon the things which are seen, upon the things, rather, which are not seen, instead of the things which are seen. For he says, the things that are seen, they are temporal, but the things which are not seen, they are eternal. And so does John, in his epistle here, corroborate the truth, that the world passeth away. Someday it will be all gone, and the lust thereof. But how precious to see the abiding of the one who does the will of God. He abides forever, meaning for all eternity. Well, we would like particularly to bring before our heart's attention what it means if we fail in this warning that the apostle gives regarding the affection of the believer's heart for the world and the things that are in the world. Will you go back with me to verse 15 and the latter half of that verse? Know what the apostle says. Let me read the whole verse. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now may I specifically declare that the apostle is referring, and may I paraphrase the word, he is referring to a believer. If any Christian loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Please note very carefully that if a Christian loves the world, it does not declare in our words within this verse that the Father ceases to love him or to love her. But it declares emphatically that if any believer loves the world, he or she is not enjoying the Father's love. For the love of the Father cannot be enjoyed when the believer's heart is set with its affection upon the world or the things that are in the world. There can be no enjoyment of the Father's love if we give the world the first place within our heart. Our responsibility, let me quote the words of Paul as we read them in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. They are precious words and I'm sure they fully apply. That our responsibility is to say and to do what Paul writes in Galatians 2 and verse 20. When he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let me link that verse with another one that Paul has written in Galatians 6. Verse 14, when Paul declared, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. May I very carefully present to you this thought, my fellow Christian? Paul's concern about the world was this. He himself should not go after it, nor should he indeed deal with that world as one who loved it. For the world demonstrated its hatred under the power of Satan when it crucified the Father's Son. And Paul declared very clearly, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Note the next words that follow. Carefully note them. By which the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. I remember many years ago an incident in the life of a fellow believer who said to an older Christian, Brother, I wish I knew my Bible like you know it. I would give the world if I knew my Bible as you do. The old servant of God answered the young man and said, That's exactly the price I paid. The world. Oh, my fellow believer, we cannot enjoy the Father's love and be in fellowship with the Father if the world is in our heart. May God grant to every one of us who named the Savior, we will crucify the world as well as ourselves, then thus live for the glory of the Lord. Father, bless thy truth in the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask for his glory. Amen.